Hey guys, I always love ha having recurring guests on, and sometimes I get really lucky and I get two special guests on in the same night, and that's what's happening tonight. I got Derek Hayes. You guys know him from Monsters Among Us podcast, and if you probably caught him on television a few times on Paranormal Caught on Camera. And then we got old friend David Flora from the Blurry Photos podcast. And he's also with Historia 51. That's something that happened a little while back. And I'm glad to have these guys both on. Guys, first of all, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having us,
Thanks,
Jerry.
Jerry.
Appreciate it.
Good to be back.
Now you're on for a special reason. If longtime listeners will probably remember, right before COVID smacked everybody down about 4 years ago, I had you two on as you were getting ready to start your, I think it was a Kickstarter campaign. To fund a documentary you guys were going to do called Midnight in the Desert. And of course, COVID, like, with most people's plans, screwed everything up. It took y'all a while to get started on filming and all that because of lockdowns. But now here we are, almost 5 years later. Things are rolling. The documentary is ready to come out, and you guys are going to enlighten us on where and how people can see this. So Derek, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about the documentary in general for people who won't remember because it's been so long ago since we talked about
It's been a long time. We've been working hard and long on this thing, but
it.
essentially it's a documentary about there's this place here in Southern California that we stumbled on. It's a state park there called Anza-Borrego Desert State Park, and it's full of all sorts of crazy terrain, from dry lake beds to badlands to cactus filled deserts, and then higher mountain elevations with pine forest and that sort of thing. So anyway, we started digging into this and found all sorts of paranormal stories that suggest that this may be some sort of gateway area or one of these window areas that we hear a lot about. So David and I got to researching and ended up naming this place the Borrego Triangle. Just we needed the triangle shape that's synonymous with haunted locations. So we put a name on it. We started shooting out there a couple of years ago and editing, and now we have a polished documentary. So that's essentially the long and short of it. Very long.
You're right when it comes to the triangle thing, because there's very few haunted hexagons or pentagons, or
Yeah.
so. Yeah, you're right. It's just something about
Parallelogram.
that triple. Yeah. So, David, tell everybody how you got involved with the project. How did you and Derek hook up and decide that this was something to make into a full length documentary?
Derek sent me this cryptid a while back for my Miss Cryptid once a year annual Miss Cryptid contest, and it was the Borrego Sandman, and it's just a Sasquatch creature that lives out in the desert in the and around the Anza-Borrego Desert State Park area, and it had come up in the 1964 issue of Desert Magazine, where a guy apparently found footprints, maybe even saw something moving in the distance from a flyover once, and kind of sparked Derek's interest. He wanted me to look into it, see what I thought about it, and then from there, all these stories started coming out about this area. There were ghost stories, there were UFO reports, more cryptid sightings, lots of Sasquatch activity, military presence, all this stuff just sort of spiraled once we started looking at it. And Derek was like, "Hey, we've been looking at this stuff. There's quite a bit here. You want to try and put this together, do something maybe visually instead of just audio?" And so we decided, yeah, let's see if we can scrape a film together and cover this, because there's too much good stuff to just leave laying out there in the desert.
I'm surprised that I hadn't known about that Sasquatch type creature because I never miss an edition of Desert Magazine. So it's odd that I hadn't ran across it in the past. Tell everybody what goes into Derek. I'll start with you, and then I'll go to David. Tell everybody what goes into making something on this level.
Ooh, It's about twice what we expected. That's what went into it. There's a lot. Monetarily, there's a lot there. We spent a lot of money on this. Thankfully, we had a lot of Kickstarter backers that helped supplement a lot of
Including
that
you, Jerry.
budget. Thanks, Jerry.
I was on the low end.
Every
That's
little bit
right.
helps.
Yeah,
Every
every
little
bit
bit
helps.
helps. So yeah, there's that part of it, and then there's actually getting out there and shooting stuff, which our camera guy was from New York and our line producer was from Louisiana. David's in Colorado, so we had people from all over the country meet there in the desert to shoot this thing. I think we shot a 10-day shoot, I think it was something like that. Wait, no, it was a 13-day shoot because we shot a little bit for the Kickstarter end of it that we ended up using in the actual film. But man, there was a lot that went into it. A lot of coordinating, a lot of interviews, a lot of talking with people, a lot of rejection. Just a lot of working. 4 years, like I said, 4.5 years into this, just a little bit here at a time. We hired an editor on early on, and he really kind of kept us in line. Without him, I think we would have been in a lot of trouble.
Oh yeah. And once the camera's rolling, you could say that's the easy part. But there's a lot of organizing and making sure you know where you're going, how much time you have. This park is huge. I forget if Derek said or not, but it's about the size of Rhode Island. And so when we were planning out our shoots, we had to take into consideration there might be an hour to an hour and a half of travel in between spots to shoot at. So there's a lot of logistics to work out, feeding people, making sure that nobody dies of heat stroke.
That was the big one.
There's, yeah, all that stuff out there. And then on the back end, we have to watch this thing hundreds of times and look for every little thing that either was wrong or needed a tweak, or there was something with the audio off on it, or there was the writing of each section for the voiceovers and storytelling that we had to go back and forth with to cut down. We'd write something out and then we're like, okay, great. How do we get half that in here? And then we'd cut it down and cut it down, and it was just like going through a jungle and chopping down the branches with a machete. And then having to find all the stock footage and music and the art, getting the art. Jonathan Dodd did our art for us, and then Matt, our editor, he animated all those images that he got. And yeah, we like that's kind of the tip of the
Just hearing
iceberg.
the
There's
list is exhausting.
it just keeps going. There's all kinds of stuff that goes into it.
Derek, before we get into where people can actually watch the documentary, tell us a little bit about what they're going to see.
Well, they're going to see something they've never seen before, frankly. This isn't a place that's been covered a lot. If you remember the TV show Sightings from in the 90s, late 80s, mid 90s, they did a package on it a long time ago on the U daytime UFO in the Anza area, which is in the northwest corner of the triangle there. And then Mysteries at the Museum was the other one, and they talked about the Sandman, and they focused on a footprint that they found or something. So as far as I could tell, those are the only two pieces of media anywhere that really cover anything paranormal with this hotspot area. And what we found was incredible. Just the amount, not only the amount of sightings, but the wide range of activity that was reported to us. And like David said, anything from the military and UFOs to ghost lights, ghosts themselves, cryptids. There was all sorts of Wild West type legends. There were some treasure le legends that we heard out there. So in short, they're going to hear about stories that, frankly, they probably never heard of before. And that's these days rare when it comes to the paranormal, at least in my opinion.
David, without getting any detail, because obviously we don't want to spoil it, did you guys capture anything on camera that will be of major interest to the viewers?
We did sort of, but it didn't make it into the documentary. It's going to be used later, but which we legally can't discuss. But For the most part, it was going to places, checking things out, and just kind of documenting what our experience was so the viewer can come along with us on this journey of discovery. And, there's interesting stuff, but I wouldn't say it's anything too out of the ordinary or crazy. It's more the witnesses and the area that is really cool. And like I said, we got a little something. There were some lights that we saw that were not readily explainable. But this is going back to how the back end of this works. There wasn't really a good way to fit it into the documentary. We just couldn't find the right kind of story to tell alongside this or with it or around it. So, but we will be using it, so keep an eye out for that later this year.
When all was said and done, how did you feel about the place? Did you feel like that the stories that you'd heard were justified, or did you feel like they were overblown, or did you come across even more amazed with the place?
But I came out of this place thinking differently than I went in. And I'll use the Sasquatch legends that are out there as an example. When we first started researching this, I thought there's no way a creature like this could survive. And I've been out there, it's hot as hell. There's nothing out there. There's just no way it can happen. But then we started talking to witnesses that claim otherwise. Then we started talking to botanists that claim, well, there's all these plants that they could eat, and these biologists that are telling us, well, they can get water here and they can find shelter there. And there's been Native American cultures surviving out there for thousands of years. Why couldn't, another upright hominid? So, after I started exploring all those details, I sort of had a different point of view there. It didn't seem like the barren wasteland that I first thought it was. Once you get there on the ground and you start lifting rocks and touching the leaves and stuff, and you realize people can survive out here, animals can survive out here, large animals can. So just in that tiny little window that opened my eyes to the possibility that something could be out there.
David, what about you?
Yeah, that's pretty spot on for me too. It checked a lot of boxes that I wasn't sure could be checked for something like that. There might be some leftover that still remain unchecked, but the fact that they talked about they being the experts, the botanist, the biologist, they really told the story of how things can survive. And that just, for thinking about something that is hairy, and you just don't think of desert when you think of this kind of creature, it really opened our eyes to how possible it could be. And the area itself is just it's weird. It's gorgeous, but I've been saying this, and Derek, I think can back me up. It just always feels like no matter where you are, there's this expanse of wasteland, but you feel like you're being watched. It feels like something is going on around you. And that was pretty fun to experience.
But you could see for miles around you, but it still feels like you're on a microscope somehow. It's a really weird feeling.
Well, Derek, I guess it's at that time in the interview where you can tell people where they can watch Midnight in the Desert.
Shadows in the Desert, actually. And
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I've got
I
that
wish
written
we were
down right in front of me. It still said midnight.
I wish we were Art Bell. You can The best place to go is BorregoTriangle.com. That's BorregoTriangle.com, and that's going to have everything there. But I don't know when this is going to drop, but it's released March 5th. So beginning or before March 5th, you can pre-order on Apple TV, Amazon Prime, or a whole slew of other places. And then after March 5th, same places, but it's just going to be live, and you can rent it right there. Hope that answers your question.
It does. Well, let's do this. Both of you guys have awesome careers. Aside from the documentary, I would be irritated with myself, and I'm sure most of our listeners would be, if we didn't at least catch up a little bit. We'll start with you, Derek. How is Monsters Among Us going?
Well, we turn 8 next week or next month, sorry. So we've been doing this for 8 years, believe it or not. And it would just keep expanding. You know, we're getting tons and tons of firsthand accounts, telephone calls to our hotline, and we're sharing some really crazy stuff. We had a lady turn into a moose on one of the calls here recently. So we've had all kinds of weird stuff, but it's going really well, really well.
Now, did she turn into a moose on the call, or she just told you about turning into a moose?
No, she's gonna call back for that. No, what had happened is this was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and there was a lady walking along a riverbank, walking her dog, and she sees what she thinks is like a homeless older lady carrying a suitcase, and as she's staring at this lady, she just morphs into a giant moose, and the moose just tears through the brush and then disappears. So she actually watched her transform into this creature.
Wow,
Weird
that's
stuff.
different.
Yeah, for sure. That's the kind of stuff we get on Monsters Among Us over there.
What about Paranormal Caught on Camera? Are you on any of the newer seasons? I've kind of lost track of it myself over the last year or so.
No, I quit doing that back in season 4. So, you know, season 4 is the last time you see me on that program. But there is some stuff coming up television wise that you'll see my beautiful face on.
Awesome. David Blurry Photos, it's been around forever. Tell us a
Sure
little bit
feels that
what's
way,
going on
doesn't it? Like
recently.
a
It
mold.
does.
It's just been here for a long time.
It's just I'm going on year 12 of it, and it's slowed down a lot recently just because I've been getting heavy into the research for the episodes, and it just takes forever to get that done, put together. So basically I release whenever I have a topic well, what I consider well researched and presented. But in the meantime, to supplement that, I've started co-hosting Hysteria 51, as you mentioned earlier, with Brent Hand. That's kind of my paranormal comedy outlet for this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's otherwise going all right, and I feel, you know, I feel like I get the episodes out when I feel good about them, and that's probably a not a wise thing to do.
It might be wise for your self perseverance there.
I don't make
You
any wise choices in that regard, no.
So guys, you've got this documentary out, Shadows in the Desert. Is there plans to put out another documentary now that you feel like you've got all the bugs worked out, know what it takes to successfully put one of these together? Is there anything else in the works coming up?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, in the sense that we now know a lot more than we did the first time putting this together. So, we have discussed putting out a second one, and we would be in a very much a better position to do it because we have learned a lot from this first go around, and I'm sure it would take, you know, at least half the time, if not less.
Let's hope.
That's the hope. But we kind of want to see how this one's received and see if people would want, you know, an either another one or a sequel or something completely different or whatever. I think Derek is in the same ballpark as me on that one.
Yeah, there's enough legend out there for us to do a third, fourth, fifth movie, I think, if we wanted to. It's whether or not the audience is there for it. And we'll find out here in a couple of weeks. You know, if we get a good response, then our chances of doing another one are much better than if we don't.
Well, guys, I wish you the best of luck with the release. I hope it's every bit the smash that you guys hope that it is. And I'm excited to see it. I'm the trailer you guys put out back during the Kickstarter initial setup was I thought pretty awesome. And it made me want to see more. And now I got to go back and find it because I've done forgotten everything that I saw back then 4 years ago. But no, I mean, it looked like it was going to be a very fun documentary, and I expect that. And, I know you guys are two people that seek perfection in everything that you do, and I expect this to just be awesome, just knowing what your reputations are.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't know how
Well,
true it is,
guys,
but thank you.
well,
It is
for
true. I'm
sake
a
of
perfectionist.
argument,
That's
it's
my
true.
problem.
Well, guys, I wish you nothing but the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry.
Appreciate it.